Let us turn in God's Word to Genesis chapter 1. And as you'll notice there, there is an insert in your bulletin that is entitled The High Calling of Motherhood. And our message is based there upon the passage before you there, Created with Design, Genesis 1, 26 through 28. Before I read that passage of Scripture, I would ask that you at least give attention to the need to have in our homes the recovering biblical manhood and womanhood, a response to what's happening in our culture today and all kinds of new things and laws and all that's going on. This is just an outstanding volume. As you can see, I've used this one quite a bit through the years. It's not just marked up, but it's coming apart. I ask David Torres to bring one of his copy, and it's beautiful, pristine, wonderful volume. And you can get these, and they're just great material that's in here. And many of the questions you'd have of what's going on in our culture today, this book beautifully speaks to those issues. And I would highly recommend you're getting a copy. But I found out also, if you go on the Internet, you can download it free. It's a great thing, you know. Free, no cost on your computer. It's all there. Wow, good stuff. Genesis chapter 1. Beginning with verse 26, we read these amazing words. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over it. And let's stop right there and pray before we go on to the message. Let's pray together. Father, we do pray for this nation, and we pray, O God, that you would once again have your word go forth in power with the good news of Jesus Christ, how there is restoration, how there is the good news of respect and honor to be given to women because they do represent your very image. We ask, O Lord, for your blessing upon this message for this very hour. O Lord, speak through your servant. May Jesus Christ be praised, in whose name we pray. Amen. One of the things that we have as a great reality are the pain that we can see in broken homes. Many of us came from broken homes. Pains that are very real. I would ask the question, if you look in the inside of this guide on our message this morning, you will see those questions that have to do with how so many have grown up without knowing who they are. So many young men and young women really don't know who they are because they've never seen a living husband and wife, a mom and dad loving one another, showing forth the image of God in the home. They don't know who they are. They don't know their role because they have missed that. What they have seen is pain and fights and maybe a passive father or maybe no father at all. Or as we would look sometimes the ugliness of hateful relations of dads and moms. The family doesn't really eat together because they really don't want to be together. No real love and care as a family. So a young person asks, what is my purpose? Who am I? Why do I have this body? We have what I would call today a blender gender society. it's all mixed up. What does it mean to be a man? What does it mean to be a woman? What does it mean to be male? What does it mean to be female? These are very basic, important questions. And our culture, the education that is being given, the training that's being given in our schools, the training that's being given in our media, the training everywhere is that erasure of the differences of male and female. An 8-year-old, he's asked the question, a little boy, do you want to be a man or a woman? What a strange world we live in. Laws that are being passed so that you can use any public restroom. A man can go into the women's restroom. Strange world we live in. Let's vote on it. Boys can become girls or whatever they want, or girls can be boys, however the democratic process may choose. Whoever wins the vote is right. What a strange world we live in. I decide. How is it put? You can be anything you want to be. Anything you feel you want to be, you can do it. Have confidence. You can do it. Who are you? What's your purpose? Why do you have the body you have? What does it mean to be male or female? Why do we honor moms? These are important questions. What I'd like to do in our moments together is to have 3 points that we have there in the outline. And if you look at those 3 points, very important questions: the divine image of male and female, the feminine calling, the training model. And then I would like to, if we have time, if we can run fast enough, I would like to give a resolution that moms especially need to have of comfort, of not to lose heart. So let's look first at the divine image. It's very clear that God says He has created man in His own image. If you look at the passage, He's really speaking of the full orb grandeur of God. You remember how we spoke of God, yes, being more than creator, being more than sovereign. He is the God who from eternity past is the God of love. God is love. Father loves the Son. The Son does the will of the Father. The Holy Spirit in the midst of all of this. There is that holy dance of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Or as we begin to read the Old Testament, it begins with those words, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it speaks there of how the Holy Spirit was hovering over the waters. And then we have the Word of God speaks, let there be light, let there be land, let there be the animals, let there be, and the Word of God brings to pass these things. When we read John chapter 1, it has those words that are so clear. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There was not anything made without Him that was made. He is the one who speaks the Word of God and things come to be. And then it tells us, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, Jesus Christ. So we have in the very beginning, yes, the reality. Let us, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, make man in our image. Yes, male and female. There is this great necessity to know and see and proclaim the image of God and man alone. Male and female is made in His image. What an amazing thing we have here. How beautiful it is. Let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Male and female. Great importance of these words for our culture today, because man and woman show forth God's image. How? Of course, it's man that has that planning element, that subduing creation, cultivating creation. It's man who is put in that place of thinking and yes, ordering and discovering the things of God's wonderful creation. And there's something even more in that. Male and female show forth the image of God in that relationship of love. There is something that's essential to show forth this God who is love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in that relationship of man and woman that God has given to us. He has given to us His image in male and female. Tremendous diversity who God is. We have that diversity of God in our very own bodies. Men are different than women. And I hope there should be a loud shout, thank be to God, they are different. We glory in the differences. It's good news. God enjoys diversity. We're not all the same. We are different, but we are created in God's image. Isn't there such a beauty to God's creation? All the colors and the hues, the bright colors of His creation and the warmth of those colors and all the wonder and awe of mountains and rivers and volcanoes and oceans, and every part of creation has great diversity. And showing forth His image, there's diversity. Even, yes, in the personalities and all that's involved in male and female. God enjoys diversity. There's even frogs that He's made that sound like sheep. Strange things. Diversity. They all show forth how God has made us, created with design. You and I have purpose, every one of us, to show forth His image as male and female with all the diversity within that. Interesting. And I must say, young ladies that read for us, you young ladies, you are created with a design. You're designed as a woman. You're designed physically and your very being. Designed with purpose, a divine design to show forth the glory of God. Young men, we had a number of them participate in our worship service this morning. Young men, all of you, realize you're designed to be a man. Listen. And I would have you to write this upon your mind with clarity. Human sexuality is defined by an objective biological trait, either XY or XX, chromosomes. It's not, how do I feel about it? It's not, what do I want to be? It's designed by God. Half hour of silence for emphasis. It's there in a design. I repeat, it's not your sense of being or feelings. There's only two genders. And you can't put them in a blender and come out with something else. Even if you vote on it, it won't change it. The reality is what God has determined. And it isn't to be changed for the public restrooms or anything of the like. You can't be whatever you feel like being. Now, we know that's true, though people say that in strange ways. You know, they tell someone who's, going to be 5'9" and whatever, that you can be the next Michael Jordan or Dr. J or whatever. We tell them, you can do this. And hopefully we know that's a lie. It's false. It's not going to happen. It's not what you have confidence in or what you feel. The reality is there is a design by God. And it's a design with wisdom and purpose. It isn't some willy-nilly thing. I am a man designed by God to show His image. You, young women, you're designed by God to show His image in all that you are. It's a better design than the best designers of this world. Mercedes-Benz, Rolls-Royce, a Bentley, BMW, whatever it may be, a Porsche. It doesn't have the designer that you have. God designed you for a purpose, to show forth His image. Your DNA, your chromosomes, every part of you, He has designed to show forth that full-orbed grandeur of His image. Made, created in His own image. In the image of God, He created you, male and female. The second point I would bring to you this morning that's so important is what I would have for this Lord's Day that we're honoring our mothers, and that is the feminine calling. There is that element of being called as a special place of complementing, or as the Hebrew has that word of helper, a complement to the man. There is to be this special relationship in all of creation. She has that special place. It is that, not as some of the Gnostics or the writings of the what was later on after the Gospel, New Testament writings, we have the Gospel according to Judas. It was not something written by Judas. It was something as a lie, really, fabricated. They picked up some different names and things from the Gospels themselves. But they have such a strange understanding of women. They call on women to become men, because then they would really be what they would have glory to be. That's a lie. God created you in that beautiful place to bring glory and to show forth His image. We have in the divine Trinity the one who is the Father, and the one who is the Son, who is very God of very God. At the same time, He says, my work, my joy, my very food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish my Father's work. He's not substandard. He's not second class. He has that special place in the Trinity to accomplish our great salvation. He is the one who speaks the Word of God, and it comes to pass. He is in a very special place. And so the woman has that special honor place. Not as a man, but as a woman. She shows forth that feminine calling. Guys and gals are different. Not just physically, but different. In childbearing, men are left out in that sense. Children are a blessing. Genesis 1:28 speaks of that blessing. The effects of the fall, yes, there's pain, there's suffering, there's broken homes. But there is a beauty here that Adam was incomplete without her. Eve had a different role than Adam. But it wasn't inferiority. Remember God's image of the Trinity. And there's not that the other members of the Trinity are inferior. Scripture does not teach that. And I think it's good for us to pause just for a moment and maybe even just chat for a very short moment here about what is masculinity. Somehow or another, our culture has made masculinity. Somehow or another, it's the guy that has the big lift kit on his four-wheel drive truck, and he needs a ladder to get up there. you know, and if you have that truck, I'm not singling you out this morning, but it has almost become that. Who has the most guns and you know, whatever it may be, I'm a man. Scripture, though, gives us a different picture of one as the Father protects, as the Father provides. Yes, as Adam was to cultivate and provide and protect and care for and be the loving Father. His leadership was to be a loving, sacrificial leadership. Cultivating femininity has to do with complementary relationship as the helper, the keeper of the home that we have all through scriptures. As we had read for us from Proverbs 31, there is this one who, yes, provides in a special way. One who, in a beautiful sense of God's presence, turn with me there to Proverbs 31, and just to look afresh at that, what was read for us by the four young ladies, how there is that emphasis that's given. Verse 25, notice it says, she is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. And then how she speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of the household. She does not eat the bread of idleness. And how beautiful, her children arise and call her blessed. Happy. Her husband also, and he praises her. We're not doing something wrong today to say to you men, sisters, and to say to those who are in your family, your daughters, your wife, your mothers, to praise them. And then it says, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. It's speaking here that it's to be a woman who has a heart who loves God. She has a heart that has compassion. There's a gentleness about her. There's femininity that's very God-given. Warmth and tenderness and wisdom and faithfulness and purity. It's not weak, weeping willow. But it's, yes, with courage and strength and, yes, a warmth and tenderness that God has made the woman to be genuinely loving and a complement in all that she does. Now, how can all this happen in your life? Certainly without the gospel, it's a very impossible task. And so I would encourage you to know the gospel of Jesus Christ in your life. And then very quickly to the third point, the training model. Instructing our children's minds, there is that calling, and it's to be a training model. Instructing our children's feelings, instructing even how they should care for their bodies and how they present themselves as bearers of the divine image. And in all this, we had read for us earlier, there needs to be that warning not to exasperate our children. Not to come with authoritarianism. But see, but there we have the woman and the man. There's importance of how they bring together these things. What a task. What a task. I'll be maybe at the grocery store and I see, you know, this mom come in with the buggy or the stroller, I guess we call them. And there's one or maybe two in there. And then there's another one kind of trying to push this along. And sometimes she's carrying another one. And I'm thinking, wow, I wouldn't even, chew. I'm not sure I even have enough courage to try such a thing. Just to go out of the house with all three or four of these. It's a real challenge. But I would ask you to turn to our back page, Psalm 128, and read this together. I would encourage you to read. We've encourage you to get a copy of Songs of Jesus by Tim Keller. And it's very brief devotional, at least one meal a day. Read that together as a family. Psalm 128 is in view here, but I would have you notice if you come down, it has the word family there. And Tim Keller writes, a loving spouse and growing children are a great blessing. But sin in the heart and evil in the world have disrupted the life of the human family. Many wish to have families who don't. And many who have families wish they had different ones. There are also people who have suffered terrible abuse with their families. Jesus said that his family did not consist of his biological relatives. He said, whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. The church must not only support and repair families, but also find a way to become the family of God, where everyone, married and single, childless or not, can flourish in love. We have work as the family of God, as the church. His prayer, you see that below. Lord, too many of us today relate to others at church as fellow customers, rather than as brothers and sisters. We go to get religious services, not to live out our common lives together like family. Change my thinking. Help me to help my church become a family. Amen. We are to be family, caring for one another. There's this model before us of discipleship of one another, discipleship of our children. That may mean that there's dads here that need to step up and help maybe some of the sons and daughters that need extra help. That may mean a mom that needs to step up in different ways and help one another, not to be distant. Oh, they're not doing too well over there. Wow, I could do a better job than they are. We are family to help one another. There's not a place for being passive, but rather stepping forward with training, instruction, nurture of one another. Moms are made with a design to do that, and we need to be, as a family, helping with that. And then turn the inside of the guide for this message, and you have Psalm 127. I love reading that when in the hospital with a couple who just had a baby, and to read that. How unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. And then down here, just for time, let's come down to where it speaks of rest. God's work, rest and sleep, how important for moms especially. Tim Keller writes, prosperity and security are not ultimately your accomplishments, but God's gifts. So overwork, worry, and strain are foolish and wrong. So too, thriving, happy children are God's doing. And I like this. Helicopter parenting and over-involvement in our children's lives cannot ensure their health and happiness. Unless the Lord enters their lives, all our watching is in vain. Giving your children to God is the only way we get to keep them. If you know that the one who loves you unfailingly is in complete charge of history, you will be able to sleep well. And if you are overworked and overstressed, you're forgetting who God is. Jesus said it most bluntly, apart from me, you can do nothing. And then the prayer that I do think with brevity he does pray for us here. Lord, admitting my accomplishments are your gift is a bittersweet thing to do. It stings at first because it humbles, but then it is so very sweet and brings such peace. It's not up to me, and it never was. Let me work hard with this liberating insight, removing the pressure I sinfully put on myself. Amen. We really don't have time for the resolution, but I would speak to you just this brief word. As moms, the whole story has not been told. If you go down that list in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, you find that list of those who were in the church in Corinth. They were adulterers, male prostitutes, they were swindlers, they were thieves, you name it, and there's a mess there. That was their identity. And then Paul says, such were some of you, but you've been washed, you've been sanctified, you have been justified before God in the name of Jesus Christ. God can do that great work that's beyond what any of us can do. He has that transforming message, and you have the gospel to give to your own heart and to your children. Let us pray together. Father, we believe that your word gives us that word that is needed for our families. We thank you for the mothers of Israel, this congregation, in such a special way, how much they accomplish and how they serve in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray, O Lord, you'd give them a rest from all their worries and their overstressed lives. O Lord, cause them to know they have the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ that can change the very identity of sinful men and women. And that you are the one who does wash and sanctify and justify sinners such as we all are. I pray, O Lord, you would bless us even now as we sing of your grace and goodness and glory. We thank you that you've made us male and female in your own image to show forth your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.